Howdy and welcome to Moose Podcast number 508. Nice glass. How you doing this week, folks? Here we are, June 29th. We're coming to the end of first 6 months of the year. Cranking right through. A little sad because now the daylight hours are getting shorter again. We're on the downhill slide after solstice. I love the hours, God, those hours after dinner. You didn't have a great dinner. Go out, the light gets mellow. Look for critters. Trust that you guys are having a great time shooting. I enjoyed some of the conversations I had this week, seeing some great stuff out there. My good friend Stanley, I love the fact he's out there fighting the battle for us, keeping things honest there in D.C. Keep it up, Stanley. News here on the front. We've got some fawns. Saw our first single, I think about it, 4 days ago. And then on, what was it? Saturday morning? No, Friday morning, we had twins born, birthed on the front. Didn't see that. We saw them just after the second one was standing up. And we saw the pair wobbled off up into the sage. So we finally got some fawns. I can't believe how late it is. But it is so wet here and things are so green. They're going to have a really good start to life. This episode of the Moose Podcast is being recorded using Adobe Podcast Beta. You can find the transcript and the podcast there on the website, along with links and photo. But you also find your favorite spots, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon, iTunes. I keep pointing this out because I would love to have more folks have a conversation with me. That's really kind of what it's like. Now, one person mentioned this week that I'm always saying I would love a conversation as if I'm lonely. I'm stuck up here in the Sapphire Mountains by myself. Nope. That's not the case. Actually, conversations are great. You get out of me whatever information that I might have that's useful. But from you, I get inspiration. I get thoughts. I get ideas. And I'm grateful for that. So, hey, let's talk. I've been reading this one book, and I'm still going to get through it. Otherwise, I've been doing nothing but research as I'm cranking out some articles and finding some written material on things that happened in the 30s and 40s can be a little bit of a challenge. So I don't have any great books to recommend this week, but if you've got one that you've just finished and enjoy, hey, let me know. I appreciate it. That's part of that conversation thing. Not really a whole lot of news out there right now. It is, you know, we're in the height of summer. Things kind of quiet down. I don't do those rumors for a lot of reasons. Most of the time, I've learned that those rumors are just a way to get you to click on things. Don't really materialize into things. So, don't have any really great news for you. Other than I can tell you that Bedford's is the place to go buy your gear. My good friends at Bedford, bedfords.com, where you go to the store, they have 7 of them, head to the website, which is really extensive. It just seems to keep growing. Give them a call or you head, for example, to Little Rock, which is now less than a month away for the Photo Expo, which is there at Little Rock. They've got some great events, killer speakers. They've going to have all those, just a ton of manufacturers there. They got some really great show specials. And of course, you get the Moose discount when you check out. So Bedford's, they've got, hey, not just Nikon. If you've got a favorite brand and you've got something brand new just came out, you know who's going to be one of the first stores to have it in stock? Yeah, that's right, Bedford's. Their inventory is massive, and the manufacturers get them the new stuff instantly because they sell it, they stock it, they know it. My good friend at Bedford's, thanks for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. almost all my podcasts are inspired by either A, life events and experiences, or B, conversations, or C, a combination thereof. Had a couple of folks, and it was kind of interesting, emails came in because it's not really like known for event photography. And I had some folks, three, in the last couple of weeks, I guess it's like the June 20th wedding season, ask about lenses for event photography. Then I had a couple other folks ask about lenses about wildlife photography. Then I had some other folks ask about lenses for aviation. So I think the message was clear. We need to talk about some glass, some nice glass. When it comes to lenses, I can't say this loud enough or firm enough or silly enough or often enough. The most important person in deciding the correct lens for your photography is you. And there are lots of options. How do you narrow it down, especially when you're going to get out that checkbook or credit card and you're going to make it yours? Well, I've mentioned many times, need to rent. And one of the folks, I guess they saw it coming, and they said, I know you think I need to rent, but tell me, what lens should I rent first to start this quest? And I'm like, well, actually, that's a really good way of cornering me into making, you know, some direct recommendations. And I said, well, if it was myself, and I gave him a couple ideas. Again, a couple ideas, because, you know, nice glass comes in so many packages. One question that I get is, and it repeats itself, what about the old F-mount? Nikon F-mount glass, and there are some really nice glass. So one of the folks asked, why did I sell all my F-mount glass and switch to Z-mount? There's a number of reasons. The main one is the combination of that Z-mount beautiful, nice glass on that mirrorless body. The math just simply is meant to work with each other. Yes, they did come out with the FTZ adapter, so the math works out with F-mount lenses. But one, I don't like that, dealing with that adapter. It just, it gets old really fast. And two, I'm just a stickler for new glass. So in this first, you know, simple looking for nice glass, understand that I'm going to lean towards the new stuff to the point where I have no F mount in the locker anymore. It's all Z mount because it performs. It does a great job. It clicks into place. The play that came every so often from F mount, I've not experienced that with any of my Z mount. So that's the first thing, you know, when I'm talking about nice glass, and you know, answer that question kind of universally, I love the new stuff because it's new math and it works. Now, let's talk about focal lengths. That's the next part of this, you know, because Nikon's got some really nice glass. Let's say in 24 millimeter, because you could use the 24 end of the 14 to 24 2.8. You could use the 24 end of the Z24 to 72.8 2. You could use the 24 end of the 24 to 120 F4. All three of those have 24 millimeter into them, but why might you select one over the other? Well, all three of those I just mentioned were part of a zoom. They were not affixed. And in the F-mount days, yes, I had a 24-1.4. Don't have that in the Z-mount. If they had one, I would not buy it at this point. That's because of those three lenses. And I have all three of those lenses I just mentioned in the locker. They all have really nice 24 millimeter portions of the lens. But why one lens over another? You've got to ask yourself, One, how do you like to visually tell a story? And two, which piece of nice glass marries with the way you like to visually tell a story? You could say, and this might be an easier, better way to focus, which one solves the problems the best for you? You could say gets the biggest bang out of your buck to tell that story. So this past week, had the great fortune to be volunteered to be part of the Montana Museum of Mountain Flights Fly and Fish Camp. This is such a great, I didn't even know it existed until last Wednesday. When I got a call that night from the volunteer coordinator, and Bill said, hey, can you go do this and take pictures? And I'm like, he goes, show up at 8:45. I'm like, thank you. Click. I'm serious. And that's okay. He's got a lot on his plate and it works. And I'm like, and so I'm thinking to myself, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? And how am I going to combine those two to tell a story? So a little backstory that now that I've done it, I know you've got these kids ranging from 8 to 14, and they first day they teach them a little bit about fly fishing, and they do some fly tying. And you know I love fly fishing. I do it quite a bit. And then the second day, they take them, in this case, they took them to the Blackfoot River, gorgeous water, and they took them fly fishing. The third day, they go to the EAA hangar and they learn about riveting and how airplanes are built. And they rivet together these aluminum planes and cell phone holders and something else. The fourth day, they actually put them in aircraft and they take them out for a flight. What? It's a brilliant program. So I was asked to go on the fishing day and the flying day, bring back the story. So what's it got to do with 24 millimeter? Well, if you've ever worked with kids, you know it's a constant state of chaos and hurting cats with big smiles and possible hurt feelings, all for that 5 seconds of joy. That's kind of how it gets wrapped up. And you're on a riverbank and you've got kids fly fishing. Well, let's just say it's the guise of fly fishing. There's a lot of water slapping, giggling. I mean, the first thing they say is, okay, remember the water's moving really fast. Don't go in over your ankle. Well, what do the kids do? They're kids. They're instantly up to their waist or more, right? I mean, they're kids. That's the fun of it. I'm sure I was that, following of instructions back then. Anyway, so you got to take pictures of this chaotic fun. Going back and forth with a lot of camera gear, not an option. Needing and wanting to help kids learn how to catch fish, that was part of my mission as much as taking pictures. So I have these three lenses, all with 24 millimeter. Why was 24 millimeter part of what the solution should be? You're on the Blackfoot River in the heart of Montana. It's God's country. It's spectacular. I posted two photographs last Friday just from the thunderhead that grew and just was phenomenal background noise and inspiration. So 24 millimeter, right? But then I need to get into the kids and see their expressions as they're having fun. They're learning this new experience. They've got air knots and all those things that happen as they try to, you know, take their fly rod and use it kind of like a spinning rod. Doesn't work so well. So in this case of the three lenses, the 14-24, 24-70, 2.8-2. The 24-120, I went with the 24-120. That was the nice glass for this moment that allowed me to take in the whole scene. And then without really zooming my feet, because when you got kids back casting a fly rod, walking behind them to zoom with your feet to get the shot, not really advisable unless you don't mind getting hooked up yourself. Anyway, everybody voted that. It was really good. But there was plenty of tree limbs and shrubs that were, let's just say, hit the trophy wall. So, in this place, at this time, you know, the nice glass was the 24-120. Somebody might say, okay, so you selected a lens, but why do you have the 24-120 in your bag to start with? Why not like the 24-200? Really great question. Well, the answers for myself is very simple. It's F4. And I shoot with very narrow depth of focus on almost everything I do. It makes the subject visually pop out. It gives me, if I want it, maybe the fastest possible shutter speed. There's lots of pluses to the idea of fast lenses. So two lenses I mentioned, 2.8, this one's F4. And since I have basically the river for the background, F4 worked perfectly. All those little smiles and great expressions that the kids put on, F4 did perfect. So in process of figuring out the right lens for you, you might just think about those scenarios. Now, we've had 2 days of rain. We're supposed to have another 4 to 6 here. Temperature went from 81 to 58. Yeah, daytime high. Big difference. So when it came to Saturday, and they're supposed to fly, I get a email saying flying's been canceled because of weather. We're going to go spend time in the tower. So I said, okay. So the first thing I did was a little homework. And this is what you really need to do when you select that lens, whether it's to rent or buy. You got to do some homework. And I first find out that taking photographs in a tower on a field like MSO, not allowed unless, and there's always that caveat, you have permission, this, that, or the other. Knowing the dynamo who's running this, and Kay is really a dynamo, I figured, okay, we've got all these bases covered because she really wants the photographs. So I'm going to work in a tower. Small space, small bodies, big windows, big exposure range. What am I going to take? 14-24. And I'm going to try to work as much as I can on the 24-inch because on 14, kids on the very far edge of the frame, not going to look like the same kids. That's the process in selecting nice glass. And here's the deal. I show up at the hangar at the appointed time. And she said, Jim's taking out the RV. He's going to do a test flight because we're going to do flying. And I'm like, oh, walk back to the car, change lenses. So in selecting nice glass, you've got to have more than one. That's all there is to it. Even if you have a zoom that has multiple focal lengths in it, got to have more than one. So how do you select the next one? In this case, still, the story is the kids and their experience flying. Now, I can easily walk close to them with the 24-120 and just get a picture of them. But then it's just them, right? Part of the story is flying. So they took a survey of the 20 kids there, and they said, how many kids here have ever flown in a small plane? Only one hand went up. I met 19 kids had never flown before. And some of those kids, a couple of them, they weren't sure they wanted the first time. You could see it on their faces. To tell that story, I got to get in close, but not physically. I can't manipulate or alter that story that's going to be told, but I got to capture it. That means I need a longer lens. There's, at times, there's going to be two, a pilot and a kid. And the other plane was a pilot and 3 kids. So I could stand the same distance, but to bring all those elements in, I needed something in the 70 to 200 range. So, yeah, I had the 70-200 2.8-2 lens with me. I also had, because she wanted shots of the aircraft flying, the 180-600. But that one never came out of the bag. But why and do I have those lenses? Well, part of my storytelling style is flexibility, being able to change up lenses. So when you're looking for nice glass, you got to have that flexibility. And you've got to know for yourself. A real common question is, and I get it a lot, should I get the 7200 2.8, the 100 to 400 4.5-5.6, or the 1A to 600 5.6 to 6.3? Well, those are three really nice lenses, shot with all three extensively. Which one should you select? Which one's the nice glass for your kit? Be honest with you, if you're going to make the commitment, you need to do it, I think, as scientifically and as logically as possible. I would rent each one of those lenses personally. And in fact, I did. When I first started out, I rented a 7200 2.8. That's back in the F mount. I borrowed my friend's 100 or 400. She wasn't using it, and she was kind enough that I could have it for 6 months, and I put it through its paces. And then the 180-600, well, I've told that story a number of times about how I was told it was not a good lens. I wouldn't like it. That's from people who shot it and owned it, and it turned out it's a spectacular lens. All three are really nice glass. All three, of course, are Z mounts for Z bodies, because that's all I'm shooting. But I don't want you to say, hey, Moose said, and go buy it. I mean, I appreciate and I'm very grateful and humbled that you give my 2 cents worth that kind of credibility. But in all honesty, it's really down to you and your style of photography and how you want to tell a story. You can apply the logic that I just went through the three lenses that have 24 millimeter incorporated, and you can put that same logic to any group of lenses. And if you ever notice, there is, you know, let's say 50 millimeter. I mean, Nikon's got the 0.95, the 1.8, the 1.2, the one I have. They've got in the macro, they got a 2.8. So there's four lenses, the same basic focal length, each one with a different f-stop for different depth of focus. Each one would put a slightly different spin on the visual story you're going to tell. So if you're looking for a podcast that was going to talk about sharpness and resolution charts and that stuff, that's not going to come from me, because I like I've mentioned, I don't know how many times, I've seen incredible lenses put out horrible results, and it wasn't the fault of the glass. I still get so much email telling me they've got all these problems and it has to be the body of the lens. Photographers just are human. Don't want to say, yeah, the problem's really moi. So in this pursuit of, you know, telling your visual story, and the lens is such an important part of that, keep an open mind and remember that basically every lens you get is going to be nice glass. You folks have a marvelous week. Get out there and shoot, share those images, and remember to make every click your story.